Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And next, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that allows you to bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's B-E-T-T-O-R Fantasy.com/SGPN. And finally, we're also brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And of course, before we begin the episode, do not forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hand. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 105, which I'm dedicating to jalapeno chips, because I just ate some and they're delicious, so, and my mouth is still a little tingly from it. Or if you're a Trailer Park Boys fan, jalapeno chips, as Ricky says. I'm Canadian, so I'm into the Trailer Park Boys. I know, they're actually worldwide. Some of you Americans might know it, too. So who is this Canadian hoser speaking to you? It would be the one and only Jeff Hobocop Fox, the host of this here podcast, where if this is your first time listening, I fumble my words a lot like I just did there, usually near the end of the show, not at the start, so this is a good sign. But also, this is a podcast where we make picks on fights. We tell you who to bet on, mostly UFC, but we do sprinkle in other promotions. So we give you picks on who to fight. We're pretty good at it. And if you pay attention to us, you tend to win money. And then you'll thank us on our SGPN Slack, or you'll thank us on Twitter at Jeff Fox Writer, or my co-host Gumby Vreeland. And all is good. But the only issue is there hasn't been any fights for weeks now. So what is this podcast without fights to talk about? It devolves into just utter nonsense. But viewership, but we're not broadcast that way visually yet, but our listenership has not gone down. So I thank all you hardcore degens out there for listening to us, even though it's we're struggling for topics. But no, we have plenty of topics for you this week. We actually had to do some work for a change. That's why it feels like a struggle. But that's just how the sausage is made. You don't need to know any of that stuff. So see, I told you I ramble and stumble my words a lot. So let me get out of this horrible introduction and let you get to know my better half, my BFF. You may know him as the Gumby or the Dano or a bunch of other nicknames. Fill in the blank. He is – oh, also I was going to say he is the youngest, grumpiest old man around. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Is that true?
Yeah, I like that new one. Yeah. One time somebody called me the Stanley Hudson of my workplace.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, your workplace. So it even sneaks over there.
Oh, yeah. It's more over there than anywhere else. And it's just Stanley Hudson likes to get his work done and get the hell out of there. There's nothing wrong with that.
Anything.
That's right. Yeah.
Barely gets any lines to say, just makes faces once in a while.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I found that to be a compliment.
No, just basically because you're a young guy, at least compared to me, and you seem to as we've shown on the show before, you hate basically everyone and everything, right?
Yeah, I don't know everyone and everything. I like Huggy Bear Barnett.
Oh, there you go. Plus, he's admitted to liking me, so you're never going to live that down.
That's right. You and Huggy Bear have a lot in common.
Yeah. Yes. Now that you're my BFF, did you realize that yesterday we hit a milestone in our decades-long relationship, Dan? Did you realize that?
Was it the first time I ever wrote for one of your websites was 10
no,
years ago?
No.
Oh.
It was the first time we ever spoke – while seeing each other. We were on that video meeting yesterday.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Crazy, right?
So yeah, we were on a video call yesterday for SGPN. Pull back the curtain. And yeah, that was the first time we've ever been on a video call, because for those of you who don't know this, we are recording all of these podcasts all the time on Skype. And despite the
I
fact
don't think
we
I
have,
could do it with video.
Yeah, despite the fact we have a video option, neither of us finds the need to turn it on.
It's distracting, really, if you ask me. Like, that's – I don't know. It's harder to interrupt, I find.
So
I was having a real hard time jamming in my jokes yesterday in that meeting, because my mic kept, like – the computer kept unrecognizing my mic, if that's even a word. So, like – and then everybody was like, ha-ha, Jeff's muted. Like, no, I'm not. The friggin' mic just died on me. But I had all these awesome lines and, like – it was a bit of a lag. It's really hard to jam in my dad humor in meetings when there's like four people and there's a lag and you're on video. So I like this way better because I can't see when you're about to talk. So I just jam my stuff in regardless.
My hatred of the video tends to be, especially if – I guess it probably wouldn't be so bad if we weren't releasing video. But I used to do a whole bunch of video interviews for fighters, or maybe not a whole bunch, like a lot less than I do audio, because most of my – if you follow the Top Turtle MMA podcast, shameless plug, number one, only got about 6 minutes in today before I plugged it. If you listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast, it is an audio-only podcast. And for a little while, a nice sponsor of mine asked me to do some video content and churn it out with their logo on it, and I did. And it's weird because I don't find the need to look at the camera while I record, which is – not good. If you're interviewing somebody and you're like staring off into space, it looks very bad. So
yeah,
like even when I have a camera open, it's weird to look into it. So no need for cameras, because this is an audio medium. You guys enjoy listening to us on the way to work while you drive to work, and if we put our mugs on there, you just would look away and probably get in a horrific accident.
Because the main issue if we did this via video is I'm gonna pull back the curtain again, everyone. Dan, for some reason, he insists on working in the nude always, and it's really off-putting. He says he does his best work when he's naked. I don't know how this works in his other career he has that we don't speak of. Like I can't imagine it flies there, but he's always naked. Like right now he's totally naked talking to us.
I'm in a mostly cold basement. Like my heat works down here, but not as well as it does in the rest of my house. So it's like mostly cold here, and I live in the northeast part of the United States. So that is very much not true.
No, that's why he claims shrinkage. It's cold. It's shrinkage. That's why he's saying.
I actually put more clothes on to do this podcast because it's so cold down here.
It's true. So this is what you get from us when there has not been a UFC fight. And how long has it been now? 3 weeks? And we got another week and a half to go? I guess a week today we'll be predicting fights once again.
Was it the 18th the last time we saw UFC fights at least?
Something like that. Woo-wee. But some fights have been announced. Do you want to tell everybody what fights were just announced if they haven't heard yet, Dan? What big fights? A lot of fights actually got announced over the past 24 hours, but some title fights.
what we're speaking of. Yeah, you clarified big fights, and I'm assuming that meant because you didn't want me to talk about, like, Jamie Mullarkey versus Jalen Turner.
I don't think I saw that one, but no, go ahead. Okay.
Well, and that one, it's weird that I mentioned that one, too, because I looked at it, and I was like, have I seen that fight before? If I haven't seen that fight before, have I broke down that fight before?
Yeah,
I really feel like I have. And then I looked it up, and I have, in fact, looked up or broke down that fight before.
Which means I probably have too.
Yeah, they were previously booked. So, anyway, on that note, the big fight's being booked for UFC 272, which is on March 5th. They booked two title fights. We are getting as predicted a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, we are getting the trilogy fight between Max Holloway and Alexander Volkanovski for the featherweight title, which was to be expected, but also kind of weird because it's going to be the first ever trilogy fight for titles in which the same person won the first two, which I found particularly interesting because there's been other trilogies that have gone to a third one at 2-0. But not all for the title. So this is the first time somebody's going to get three cracks at beating somebody in a title fight and could possibly fail at all three of them, which is, it would seem like, and maybe this is a question for you, would it seem like Max Holloway would have to leave the division if that happened?
Or a new champ would have to emerge, yeah.
So he would have to hang out and just wait and see if a new champ ever happened and in meanwhile take, like, somewhat meaningless fights.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in a very unique position. Like, we talk about gatekeepers and stuff, but, like, yeah, okay, you can call him a gatekeeper, but no one's getting past him. That's the problem. For him to be, like, a gatekeeper and actually, you know, be able to book fights as often as I'm sure he wants to fight, then he has to, funny enough, lose some fights. But the problem is he doesn't lose anyone except the champ, so... He's very clearly the second best guy in the division. And I expected some slippage from him over the past couple of years, and we have not seen it. Like when he was having all those apparent brain issues with weight cutting and stuff, we were like, uh-oh, this could be it, because he's taken a lot of damage over his career. But no, he hasn't missed a step, and he could beat everyone except Volkanovski. So it is a very strange position for him. If he does lose, which I think I would predict he's going to, what to do with him then? Because like I said, he hasn't, unless he shows up looking really horrible in that fight, he's not shown any deterioration in his skills whatsoever. So he's just going to kill off any other possible prospect that could be moving up in the division if you give him top opponents after another loss.
Well, I would say this. So, you know, I think, first of all, there is a path for where he goes next, right? Like, I think he would fare fairly well at lightweight. You know, there aren't a ton of, like, heavy wrestlers up there. You know, there is Islam Makhachev, and, you know, I guess Michael Chandler fancies himself a little bit of a wrestler, but, they're not too much there either. You know, Gregor Gillespie a little bit further down in the rankings, or, you know, Matrus Gamrot. But, like, you know, he's not going to face somebody who's much bigger than him and is trying to wrestle him all that often. There's not that, like, Khabib force in there that's, you know, a 180-pound guy wrestling Max Holloway is no good. So I think he would fare pretty well up there. And the other thing I will say, too, is I don't know that he is without challengers in people who could beat him at featherweight. Because I think there are a lot of names who haven't gotten a shot, too, right? Like,
yep.
Arnold Allen hasn't gotten a shot at him. Giga Chikadze hasn't gotten a shot at him. Like, Josh Emmett hasn't gotten a shot at him. Well, luckily for featherweight is, like, filthy with young, ripe up-and-comers that he could basically make a career out of it. So, you know, I would say if his dream is to hold gold again or to, you know, be the pound-for-pound champ, like, yeah, he could move up to lightweight and have a good career. But I also think there are enough fresh matchups in that division where he could just stay down there and wait for Volkanovski to get bored or move divisions or retire or lose. Or, like, he could just stay there forever and just be – because he's not getting a fourth shot at Volkanovski, right? If he loses, a fourth shot would be fucking truly head-scratching. You know, like, he could go out and beat Giga and Arnold Allen and Josh Emmett in a row, and you'd be like, I still don't want to see him lose to Volkanovski again. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think there are options for him. He could do either of them, but I think at the end of the day, it all depends on what his goal is and whether or not he's what his dreams are.
Yeah, it's. I was saying, are they that desperate to make him champ again? But pretty much, like, he has earned himself another title shot. That's the part. Like I was saying earlier, I don't want to keep going over what I said already, but that's the problem with him. You could keep giving him challengers, but you may be killing other challengers if that's the case. So, yeah, it'll be a fun fight regardless. So.
Yeah, and they also, I would say this too, part of the reason why I think he's getting a title shot here is I don't think the UFC, with the featherweight division at least, has done a good enough job getting contenders to fight each other. You know, if we book something like Arnold Allen versus Josh Emmett, and granted, Josh Emmett hasn't been healthy forever, so that's kind of an unfair expectation for me to put on the UFC. But, like, if they had been making those types of fights for years, we'd have a whole bunch of fresh guys who have that, like, high-quality win that already make us want to see them. But instead, we put, like, Giga Chikadze up against Calvin Kattar. And while I love Calvin Kattar and I think Calvin Kattar's a great boxer, beating Calvin Kattar doesn't make anybody scream, give this dude a title shot, right? Whereas if Giga was fighting Yair Rodriguez, which I thought he should get that fight instead of Max, and then – or if, you know, Giga was fighting Zabit Magomed Sharipov, if he had stuck around, or things like that, those fights would make you scream that. Whereas this one, like, Giga could win this one again. Would he be 6-0, 7-0 in the UFC or something like that? And still, we wouldn't be talking about him for a title shot, because at this point in time, a win over Calvin Kattar just doesn't seem like it does it, right?
Yep. I just see odds for it just showed up on my Twitter feed. What are the opening odds, Mr. Vreeland?
I'm going to say Volk, but ever so slightly, because the first two fights were razor close. So I'll say, like, negative 135.
Minus 150, so you're right in there.
Yeah.
Right in there.
That's a little wider than I would have thought, to be honest.
Also, breaking news, NBA washout, who's actually got signed a 10-day contract, Lance Stephenson. You remember Lance Stephenson?
I do. Did he play for the Pacers?
Yes, he's back with the Pacers now. Yeah, he's back with the Pacers on a 10-day contract. He has scored 20 straight points in 6 minutes in the first quarter.
That's pretty special.
And the clip I saw is just him, like, dribbling for 20 seconds and then launching a three, and it went in. So.
Okay, gotta love it.
And then someone also tweeted Kyrie Irving's back. He shot 0 for 2. And Emily McCarthy on Twitter tweeted, that's Kyrie's brand, missing two shots.
Anywho,
this is not a vaccine or a basketball podcast, but all right, so that's the first title fight, which is not really a surprise fight, but fine, we'll take part three of that. So that is UFC 272, you said, right?
Yeah.
And that's the main event. The other one's a lighter weight, right?
Yeah, that one's the main event. I wouldn't even say it's because it's a lighter weight. I would say it is in a more intriguing fight, because the other one is the bantamweight title unification bout between Aljamain Sterling and Piotr Jan, with Piotr Jan having lost the first fight in losing his title to Aljamain Sterling by awkward-ass DQ when he kneed Aljamain Sterling in the head. He then won the interim title by beating Corey Sandhagen in a pretty close bout, I would say, which was one of the nominations for Fight of the Year in a lot of outlets. So they're finally unifying those bouts. There's finally a date set. Aljamain Sterling's neck is finally back to normal. I saw he commented on his Instagram. Somebody asked if he had been, you know, taking guillotines and fighting out of those so he could feel how his neck works. He said everything is 100% functional. So we're finally going to get that rematch. And I'd say, you know, I'd say this. You said because it's a lighter weight. And yeah, you're right. Usually the lighter
weight
one.
That's usually what they claim, at least, is why they book certain things. But anyhow, yes, go ahead.
Right. And usually I would agree with you too, but there are some instances I can think of that certainly would warrant the lower weight class being the higher profile fight, right? Like Gaethje versus Oliveira, if it was on the same card as Glover versus Jiří, we're still going to put Gaethje versus Oliveira as the main event, I would imagine. That's like a way more interesting fight. It's a way more high profile fight. It's a fight with probably closer odds. So in this one, I would say the same thing. This is going to be a fight with closer odds, right? Max Holloway versus Volkanovski. It's a trilogy fight, which is already exciting. We're going to get, you know, we got two really exciting fights the first time. We're going to get what should be another close one. Like, I can't imagine this. I can't imagine a finish happening in that featherweight one. Isn't that weird to think about? Neither guy was, like, void of finishes early in their career either, right? Like, Volkanovski went out there and finished Chad Mendes. Max Holloway went out there and finished, you know, Calvin Kattar. Or did he finish Calvin Kattar, or did he just take a beating? Kattar might have survived.
I think he just beat him up for 25 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, Kattar might have survived that. Never mind. But regardless, I just can't see a finish happening. Whereas the first Piotr Jan versus Aljamain Sterling fight, it was kind of a fucking wash, right? Like, he beat the shit out of Aljo until the stoppage, and he was beating the shit out of him when it was stopped, too. So, it's a fight that needs to happen, but I wouldn't say it's even one I'm particularly excited about.
No, it just needs to happen to get the division back in the proper order and everything tickety-boo, as they say, right?
I've never heard anybody say tickety-boo, but
really?
Yeah, that might be older than me or Canadian, one of the two.
No? Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, so you're grump. That was something a grumpy old guy would not say. So, yeah, that's right. You may be old at heart, but an old soul, but it's a grumpy old soul. Okay, what are the odds for this as I'm looking at my screen here?
I'm going to say...
For Jan and Sterling, too.
I'm going to say Jan... Is it wrong for me to say Jan -220?
Yes, it would be wrong for you to say that. Say
is
something
it,
else.
Is it steeper than that?
It is steeper than that.
Wow, -275.
Yes, 275, 290 is where I've seen it at. Yeah, two different places.
Yep. I mean, that's probably where I would line it. I was giving Aljo a little bit more credit, being that, you know, people will see him as the champion and dumb money will come in on that side anyway. But, I guess that is – I mean, that sounds about right to me. Do you disagree with where that line comes in?
Nope. Well, Sterling was he not technically winning on some of the judges' cards last fight?
No, there can't be.
I thought there was something, or maybe he had won some rounds is what it was. Everyone was saying it was a wash, but I thought someone had him. I may be misremembering that, but I thought that was the case. But yeah, that's not how I saw it. So
that would have been wild. That would have been a wild fucking scorecard. I'm going to say this right up front. Not just a wild scorecard to have him ahead. It would be a wild scorecard, I think, to give him a round. And maybe I'd have to go back and watch. No, dude, you are right. I am looking right now at the official scorecards. I got him right here in front of me. Every single judge gave him the third, which I think – no, every single judge gave him – oh, no, every single judge gave Jan the third. Every single judge gave Aljo the second. And then one judge inexplicably gave Aljo the first and had him up 29-28. That just seems wrong. I would have to go back and watch it now because now I'm doubting myself because – I thought I remember Aljo clearly getting shut out, but maybe that's just like misremembering it. But yeah, Ron McCarthy had it 29-28 Sterling. So if that went to a technical decision, which I think it could have a little bit later on, but I can't remember exactly how much time it has to go through. Aljo could have won at least on a judge's scorecards. That is
– Imagine that.
It is just fucking silly. That's what that is.
See, but we obviously don't know what we're talking about because these judges are so much smarter than we are. So who are we to say, right?
We are somebody to say that that is not a good scorecard. And I don't even need to go back to remember that he was not winning that fight.
Yes, it's true. It is true. All right. So that was the only two big fights, right? Other than the Malarkey fight, which you already spoke of, right?
I think those were the only ones that like stuck out as being like, you know, ones that you like need to bring up on a podcast. But there were a couple other ones that came up too. I really found the one between who is it? It was Dana Botgarel, which is one of the names that, like, keeps coming up and I think people are sleeping on. He's fighting some other super – oh, Montel Jackson. That's who it was. He's fighting Montel Jackson. Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres, is fighting Sadiq Youssef, which is fun, too.
Yep. Very, very true. I will have all the fight announcements up on my MMA site, MMA-manifesto.com, probably within the next day or two. I wait usually until they pile up for a bit, and then I post a huge post with a bunch of fight announcements. So that should be up there fairly soon. All right, we got a question from Twitter from Ye Old. I want to say it's Nate, but it's N-A-T, so it could be Nat. But anyhow, this question is, have y'all thought about changing how y'all – he's obviously American, right? There's two y'alls in the first sentence.
He is most likely from one of the states that I previously had maybe possibly badmouthed a little bit, right. Where I used to live. That's typically where that language comes from.
Because if he was Canadian, it would say A.
He's really nice, though. He sends us a lot of great questions and a lot of great feedback on the show. So
I have no problem with y'all. I have no problem with y'all. Anyhow, have y'all thought about changing how y'all pick fights this year to better reflect gambling? For example, still picking every fight, but each only picking three fights to be y'all's. So there's another one, official bets. Just an idea. Excited for the new year. Thanks. Thank you, Nat or Nate or whoever you all will call you. Thank you for the questions. What do you think, Dan? Should we switch things up? Basically, it's kind of like we would be extending our lock picks to picking every fight we think that is worthy of betting on. We didn't do very good on our locks, really. Change how we do things?
I like that instead of the lock. I thought about this a little bit because I did see that tweet just a second ago, actually, when I was finally getting on the Twitter for a little bit. I think I prefer that, too, because it does reflect a little bit better gambling and you don't have to, like, lay it all on one fighter, because that's the other problem with locks, too. Like, sometimes there's three people who I'm, like, real high on, and I'm like, these odds are great. And I just pick the one that's closest to even because I'm like, I don't know, because the nugget, the best return. And if you used all three of them, two of them probably won and looked really damn good, and the other one was the one that for some reason failed, and I would have been profitable, but instead my locks look like crap. So, yeah, I like that. We can make it like a three-piece in a soda, right? Three picks in a soda. Yes.
Yep. No, I say we can't even have to lock it necessarily at three, because by the end of the year you'll be scrambling to try to catch up. So you'll have to throw everything like you did this year. You'll throw everything that you possibly can up and see what happens.
I like that. Yeah. We could do ones that are the official numbers. And of course, for those of you who love the format that already exists where we pick every fight and talk about how that's not financially viable for an entire year of MMA, which, by the way, it's not financially viable for a whole year of MMA if you're thinking about trailing us on that. But we will still continue to bring you that format, too. This will just be – you know, like our locks were, this will be our side plays, and you'll have to listen all the way to the end of the show for us to give it to you.
There you go. I think there's value in picking every fight because there may be certain fights people want to bet on, and they want to know what our opinion is on that fight, and we don't want to skip fights that people may want to know our opinion on. So we're very important people.
They at least want to know my opinion on it.
Yeah, as
we've learned in the Slack, really
and Twitter, everywhere.
They really want to know my opinion. There's a lot more Team Gumby than anything else.
I'm not just here for the amazing comedy, everyone. It sounds like I don't know as much as Dan. Well, I probably don't know as much as Dan. Actually, I don't know as much as Dan.
Hang on one second. I'm just getting the timestamp on that just so I can flip it, use it later on.
But there was a butt coming. The stats say otherwise. So, hey, what can I say? I don't think I got lucky for picking, 500 fights or whatever I've picked. So, anyhow, we have a very important assignment that just came in, like, last minute from the boss that we're going to have to cover next, Dan. So, get ready for that, speaking of picking fights. First, I want to tell you about a couple of our amazing sponsors because they keep the lights on in the MMA Gambling Podcast Studios. Right, Dan?
I love that you're stealing the lines of something.
I'm stealing the lines.
There's only a select amount of people here who would really appreciate that.
I'm thinking you and me are the only people who would pick up on it. Other people probably listen and hear that, but I'm sure they don't pick up on it. But anyhow, we are accepting love and hate mail regarding that subject. So feel free to let us know. All right, I'm going to tell you about WinBet. No hate for WinBet, just love. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Plus, WinBet has a brand new bonus. Bet $5, win $400. Excuse me. I almost gave away too much money. Sorry, WinBet. $5, win $400 in free bets. But in Canadian money, that is $500. Regardless, also, you can win a trip, a VIP trip, not just a normal trip, a very important person trip to Shaq's Funhouse in L.A. That would be Shaquille O'Neal, I think. It doesn't clarify which Shaq we're talking here. It just says Shaq. And there are more there are Shaqs now in the world. There were before.
Like Shaq Barrett, the linebacker.
Yeah, I've never heard of him, but yes.
It's American honestly. Football, Jeff.
Oh, I've heard of – I know that, but there – I did watch some of the Grey Cup this year, by the way. Amazing, eh? And I ate poutine that weekend, too. Pretty amazing, eh? That's so yeah. Canadian.
Pretty amazing,
anyhow,
eh?
Pretty amazing, eh? And, you know, I think this is Shaquille O'Neal to talk about. Shaq's Funhouse in L.A. You bet $20 and win bet. Build your own bet, feature it, and earn a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the big game. Capital B, capital G. You and three guests will receive a VIP experience at Shaq's Funhouse. Two nights at Wynn Las Vegas and a $5,000 free bet at Wynn Las Vegas Sportsbook and a $5,000 travel credit. They got great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now over at WinBet. For boosted parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, they have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com. Also, visit PropSwap because we are brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. The NFL playoffs are and college football championship are around the corner, and PropSwap has the best odds in all football futures. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. You can always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors just like yourself. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. Sellers across country list their sports bets for sale, and thousands of buyers visit PropSwap every day to find their best odds on futures, props, and parlays. This week, Derek from Colorado purchased a Georgia college football championship ticket on PropSwap at odds of minus 120, a huge discount compared to the sportsbooks who currently have the Bulldogs at minus 150. If you're not using PropSwap, then you are missing out. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. Now, I'm going to take a sip of water. Well, Dan, you vamp. Go.
Well, I vamp. Well, now I'm...
Okay, I'm done.
I've just been sitting here marinating on the assignment that the bosses would pass down to you mid podcast.
It was just before we went on air, but I don't like to tell you things in advance. I spring things on you because you never hesitate to not let me down. Does that make sense? You never not let me down, Dan.
Sure. Yep,
I mean, You never let me down. You're thinking, crap, more work. What kind of work are they giving me? No, this came from our exalted leader, our benevolent, what do I want to call him, Dan? Despot? No, I don't want to call him despot. What is he? A benevolent ruler, we'll say. Ruler of the SGPN realm. That would be Sean.
You worked that long for the word ruler?
Yep. It's a tough one, ruler. Anyhow, he's benevolent and he's the boss. That would be Sean Green of SGPN. He is, I guess, going on a sports, some call-in sports show. Didn't give me the name of it. And he has a fake $1,000 to bet on the very next UFC card, which is coming up in a week and a half, Cater versus Chikaze. And he wants to know my advice, but I told him I would confer with you because you're the brains, obviously, even though I get all the picks right. So he wants to know what he should do with his hypothetical $1,000. And he's so, like I said, benevolent. He is letting us keep 100% of the profits of his fake $1,000 bets. What do you think of that?
100% of the profits on fake bets. Ooh.
Yes. 100% of fake money, Dan. That's amazing.
That's a good deal. So I will say this. If you asked me this quite a while ago, like probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have been pretty heavily in on betting Giga Chikadze, but I don't know if you have seen where those numbers have gone on his side.
I haven't yet. I was just about to peek.
He's like some books as high as -250 or higher, which don't get me wrong. I think this is a clear fight where I'm going to pick Giga Chikadze, and even in when we do our entire breakdown of the card and I tell you, you know, who I would put $100 on in every fight, I would probably still pick Giga Chikadze, but I'm going to say this. Man, like, if I was doing that thing that we just talked about where I'm just coming up with three bets, I'm not sure him at that number is, like, the most tempting to me.
Yeah, I see a -215 is the cheapest I see him listed on Best Fight Odds, which lists the odds everywhere, on every book. So I'm not naming a book. I'm naming a site because we love our sponsors. So, yeah, -215 is at the at an unnamed book I see him at. And the highest I see him at is -250.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty steep.
It seems steep. So, you know, there are a couple of people who I've been keeping an eye on the lines and kind of targeting the lines. The first one being Ramiz Brahimi. He's fighting Court McGee.
Yeah.
In very shockingly, coming in as an underdog. Ever
really?
So slightly. Yeah, ever so slightly. Like plus, you know, 110, plus 102, plus 105. But like just barely over the plus money line. I really like that number mostly because, you know, like, first of all, it seems wild that he's an underdog to Court McGee, but I think some of the reason why is, you know, that loss to Max Griffin in his debut sort of took some of the prospect shine off of Ramiz Brahimi, and, you know, not for anything, but like, you know, Max Griffin is a very talented boxer, which I would say Court McGee isn't, and he's great at stuffing takedowns, right? That's part of the thing of Max Griffin is he can force you to stand with him a little bit. And as a result, like, I think Court McGee is, like, a very different challenge for Ramiz. I think Ramiz might be able to take him down, because while Court is, you know, damn good wrestler in his own right, I don't know that his defense is going to stop the type of takedown Ramiz goes for, which are like high angle slams and getting in on the hips and things like that. I also think he's not a better boxer than Ramiz. So to see Ramiz with a plus number, that's one I certainly like. Also, depending on the book you're looking at, Slava Borshashev, who's fighting Dakota Bush, I really like Slava. He comes out of a team who I don't usually bet on, but it's he comes from Team Alpha Male. He's Team Alpha Male, which is
man,
I am repping Team Alpha Male here, which is crazy. But Slava Claus, as he is known, yes, has crazy knockout power. And the thing I like best about him too is he's got tremendous takedown defense. And if you've looked back at Dakota Bush's fights, pretty much if he can't wrestle you up, he loses. And I don't think he can wrestle Slava, and I don't even know if he'll get near Slava in order to do it, because Slava throws bombskis. And on some books, you're seeing him at, like, -170, -185, so you're going to get, like, a good return on him being what I feel like is kind of a sure thing. So those would be my two to start. I mean, I'll throw the man known as Ugly Man Joe in there as well, Joseph Holmes. He's fighting Jamie Pickett. It's more of a fade of Jamie Pickett than anything else. But I also have kind of liked what I saw at Ugly Man Joe in his contender series and Dana White looking for a fight bouts. But maybe not enough to like be all over him. But I definitely am fading Jamie Pickett in his pathetic UFC record. So those would probably be – I would say Slava and Ramiz would be my two. How about you? Do you have somebody on this card who's the juiciest to you?
So yeah, you're actually asking me. I'm surprised. I like both those picks, the Slava and the – yeah, I'm surprised Ramiz is a dog. So I definitely would suggest he puts the money on that one. Now we have to decide how much he's going to put on these fights. Let me look quickly. Salikov against Pereira. Salikov is the underdog. What do you think of that?
I think I need to think about that fight more. Yeah. That fight makes my brain hurt because, like, here's the thing. If Michel Pereira fights Muslim Salikov the way he fought Tristan Connolly, he'll die. He'll get the shit kicked out of him. He will look like he doesn't belong in there. But that's, of course, unless Muslim Salikov fights like he did in his last fight. Who did he just beat and looked absolutely terrible fighting? Do you remember the The one I'm talking about?
No, but
he just got done fighting somebody and looking like an absolute shit. Oh, Francisco Trinaldo, who doesn't even belong in that weight class.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if he fights the same way he fought Francisco Trinaldo, then even bad Michelle Pereira would beat him. And then also there's the chance Michelle Pereira fights like he fought against Cass Williams, which would be an excellent game plan. And I'm not even sure it would work against Salkov, but it'd be an interesting game. That fight makes my brain hurt. That's what I'll say about that one. It is weird, although, you know what, I would probably look at those odds and be like, it is weird that either of them are underdogs. But, it is weird that it seems like Salkov, who's ranked, I believe, is the underdog here.
It is. It is strange. All right, so what – let me see. What should our official picks be here? I like the first two you said. I'm gonna jot these down. Just in case Boss doesn't get to listening to us in time. Because I'm sure he listens to every single thing we say on the podcast. Okay, what was the first pick again? Oh, the one we're surprised that is the...
Ramiz Brahimi.
Okay. Put a lot on that, don't you think?
Yeah, so if I was spending $1,000 on this, and I would say I like to spread my stuff out pretty well. So I would say let's start with 350 on Ramiz.
All right. That works for me. I was looking 400, so 350 is good. Yeah. And then we were going with Slava.
So if Slava's betting off at -175, let's say, which is kind of a combination here. If you put 350 on him too, it's going to return 200.
You're comfortable with that matchup also, right?
Yeah, I really like that one. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I might even go a level higher there too. But we do 350 on Ramiz, 350 on Slava.
All right, gives us 300 to play with still.
I'm gonna say. Do you want me to give you a really boring prop that I've had an eye on?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, the most boring prop I have, and I'd maybe stick the last 300 on this, is that if you go Chase Sherman versus Jake Collier in a heavyweight fight, which is kind of silly, right? The line right now and that fight going to decision is like you can get it at -125 that it goes to decision, and neither of these dudes, despite being heavyweights, are particularly good finishers. Chase Sherman been to a slew of decisions. I think since Jake Collier has been back in the UFC, I'm not sure any of his fights have ended by finish. They've been just kind of like slobber knockers. He's just kind of like a big dude who takes punches. But like Chase Sherman lost to Parker Porter by decision. He lost to Andre Arlovski by decision. He did have some finishes before that, but he was fighting Ike Villanueva, who's really a light heavyweight, and then he fought in Iowan fights a bunch of times. He's lost a bunch of decisions and won a bunch of decisions in the past. And then, you know, now he's fighting Jake Collier, a guy who has shown he could take a hell of a punch. The only person to get him out of there, since 2015, which is when Donggi Yang, got him out of there. The only person to get him out of there is Tom Aspinall and fuck, Chase Sherman does not hit like Tom Aspinall. So I'll take that fight going to decision at -125, and I'll take, like I said, 300 on that's pretty nice.
There you go. We spent our boss's imaginary money. So there you go, Sean. That's how you should spend your imaginary $1,000, and we will take 100% of that imaginary profit. And all you listeners can actually bet your non-imaginary money on those picks too if you like. But we will make our official picks on that. Actually, week today, we will be breaking down that fight card. Hooray, we are almost there. All right, we're actually going to take a peek at some other fight cards that are coming up over this next month. We only have two UFCs this month. So if you're true to Jen and you want some action, then you're going to have to dabble outside of the UFC a bit. So we'll get to that in one sec. First, Better Fantasy. The fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming on the Better Fantasy app. Download their app free to play. Sorry, download their free to play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way. It's totally free to play. You'll earn better credits by completing challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide, and in all 50 states. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR, fantasy.com/SGPN. And let's tell you about SoBet. Since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it's purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch, go to SoBet.io, and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody's on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN today to join the revolution. And speaking of SGPN, we have an app. Hopefully maybe you're using it right now to listen to me tell you about it. We have an app. It's live in the App Store and Google Play. It gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. You can get a notification when this podcast drops in case for some weird reason you're not subscribe yet to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed, which you obviously should be, so you can get our podcast the second it drops. So grab the app, toss us up an app review if you can, and all will be well. All right. See, I'm really struggling with the words already. How long have we been recording, Dan? Because usually near the end is when the words start not coming out so good.
You got like 10 or 15 minutes left, so I would say.
So why am I losing it already?
It's usually a little bit earlier than usual, but that's that's because you did even less prep work than usual.
yeah, I guess it's true. All right, let's look over on Tapology, one of our favorite sites. Let's take a peek at some of the upcoming events, because like I said, if you're a true hashtag degen, you we'll bet on anything. Like someone in the Slack was posting Russian table tennis betting slips again and wondering if he should let it ride on the last match or cash out early. So I think he let it ride, of course, because why would you be betting on Russian table tennis if you weren't a true degen, correct?
Yeah, that's a wild move.
Yes. I actually may have a family member that told me he does that on occasion also. So he hasn't dabbled in Russian women's volleyball, which is what people were betting on New Year's Christmas Eve on the Slack channel. But anyhow, I saw one that was a good name. I always like to name No Kick, No Life. Do you want to talk about that?
I don't want to talk about No Kick, No Life.
Of course, it's Japanese. It's kickboxing. I guess we don't really dabble too much in kickboxing. No Kick, No Life. All right. I think the first big one, we don't really have to get into it too much because we're actually going to give you picks on it Sunday. I guess we would do that. It would be the All Women's Fight Federation. Is that the world's biggest? Are they the only really all women's fight league out there right now?
I don't think I'm ready to say that. You know? There's got to be other ones out there, right?
Like, you think?
Yeah, it seems
they're the only one that if you don't know the names of the other ones, then maybe there isn't, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there are probably ones out there that we don't know about. So,
anyhow, that's the next big thing you guys can bet on. It's going down a week from today, Wednesday, which is also fun. Weekday, just like the old WEC Never Die days. Weekday fights are always fun. So this is next Wednesday, the 12th of January, 8 p.m. Eastern. It is live on YouTube, which is free, live and free on YouTube, which is also fun. It's going down Kansas City, Kansas. It's got a title fight on top, Alicia Zapatella versus the current champ of the atom weight division, which is what we want the UFC to take over too, versus Jessica Del Boni. This is the rematch of the last fight, right? Would have been their title fight. That was Zapatella won, but it was a controversial, was a split decision, and it was controversial, right?
It was a split decision, and you will find many more people who believe Del Boni won that fight than you do find Zapatella somehow won that fight.
What do you think? She may follow me on Twitter, so be careful what you say. But what do you think, Dan?
Alicia Zapatella follows you on Twitter?
No, maybe not. Maybe it's her boyfriend that follows me, but anyhow.
I actually did an interview with Alicia Zapatella.
Yeah, I remember.
Not before that fight. It was before she fought Lindsay Van Zandt, which was also a split decision she won that I didn't think she won.
Is she short in person, Dan?
No, I didn't interview her. Although that was when I was doing video interviews, though.
She's about 2 feet shorter than us, right? She is like 4 foot something, isn't she?
I think she's five even.
Okay. So that's a lie.
So she's about 15 or 16 inches shorter than me, and then a little bit more for you. So she's pretty small. But like for her style, it works, right? She's a wrestler. So
yep.
That kind of low
center of gravity.
Low center of gravity. She's gonna duck under. It works for her. So. I'm sorry, was there a question attached to that?
Kind of. Who do you think won the first fight?
I know Jessica Del Boni won the first fight.
You she know it, but yeah, she didn't, though. That's the thing, Dan.
She didn't get the judges' scorecards, but she definitely won that fight.
All right, so is this the fight we should be looking forward to, the rematch?
It was a good fight, but I actually think the whole fight card is filled with, like, kind of fun stylistic matchups. You got a Taekwondo black belt in Monica Franco fighting, like, an upcoming, you know, hot prospect in Haley Cowan. You've got Tabitha Watkins, who, while doesn't have, like, the most impressive record, is also, like, kind of a damn fun fighter to watch, too. That's an atomweight fight. She fought Jessica Del Boni as part of one of those tournaments they do. And really, all of the women she's lost to have been high-level stuff. So, and her grappling's a lot of fun. So she'll be fighting Katie Saul, who's fun as well. So there's a whole bunch of good fights in there that you should tune into. And it's not that long of a card, too. So if you're worried about giving up, you know, six hours of your life to watch something, this one is six fights. It should be over in a couple hours. So, definitely worth the time.
Are you picking you? I'm not going to pick winners. I don't watch enough of Invicta, unfortunately. Are you going to pick winners for all the fights next podcast, or you just want to pick some of them?
If you prep the background for all of it, I will pick all six fights.
Oh, wow. Hear that, everyone? You're going to have six fights you can bet on as of Sunday. That is exciting. No, I'll definitely do the background of that. Not a problem. So, all right. So we don't really need to say more about that. We will be diving deep in it soon enough. Do we care about one championship, Dan, at all? They have an event next, the 14th. Like,
are we saying generally or this yes, particular generally. Card?
This card's got,
no, but I will say this card actually has some pretty good name value on it. I'm not ready to break down anything on it, but I would say Tiffany Teo versus Mo Bang is like a very fun women's flyweight fight. I find both of those fighters pretty exciting, including Tiffany Teo, who's only ever lost to the champ, which is Jing Nang Xiao. And she'll be fighting for the title that night or defending her title that night. So, a couple of, like, good women's flyweight bouts. James Nakashima is fighting, too. I feel like not enough people know his name, too. He comes out of the MMA lab. And, like, with the exception of two recent losses at one, which were kind of unfortunate, one being to Shinya Aoki. Shinya Aoki is still fighting. in 2021, it was, at least. He lost a couple of, like, recent bouts. But if you go before that, before he signed with 1FC, he actually fought a whole bunch of guys who then made it to the UFC after him, and he beat them all. He beat Chase Rancounter, who wound up going to the UFC and getting a UFC contract and winning in the UFC once. And then he also fought Kyle Stewart. He beat Kyle Stewart.
Is that a race car driver?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a race car guy. He also beat Derek Krantz. All three of those guys wound up in the UFC. And then he He wasn't getting the UFC contract he thought he deserved. He signed with 1FC. Beat Yushin Okami.
Who is on this card?
Yeah. Oh, is Yushin Okami on the card too?
Yes, he is.
Nice. Got a lot. So again, generally, do I care about 1FC? No.
No.
This one, if you're going to watch a 1FC card, this one's pretty good.
It's got two title fights at the top, which Dan didn't even mention. One of them is kickboxing. We got a women's flyweight.
I mentioned the women's flyweight one when I mentioned she had previously beaten Tiffany Teo.
Yeah, that's true. So this is Friday 8:30 a.m. So if you want to get up early or not go to bed, DeJans, that's a week from Friday the 14th. Do you want to make picks for that on Sunday or not?
Hell no.
for none of them? Okay, fine.
No, they're impossible.
We'll stick with Invicta. Fine. Sorry, see? I tried, people. Well, I tried for you. All right, so that is on the 14th. UAE. No, we don't talk about UAE Warriors. Nah.
They're sometimes not bad.
Yeah.
I think this event in general, the one coming up for UAE or Warriors, is pretty lackluster.
It's not a title fight or anything. So.
If I'm not mistaken, it's pretty lackluster because I didn't even remember it was coming. So usually if it's coming, it's pretty important. There is a really good if you need some work done for you here, there is a really good Friday card for LFA, which returns to Dallas, Texas for LFA 121 on Friday, January 14th. That one is loaded with good fighters on it. There's a bunch of people who I'm really excited to see fight on that fight card.
So that is on the same day as...
Well, it'll be on it. It'll be at night. It'll be at night, though.
Yes. Yes. It is. LFA 121 is going down, like Dan said, Friday the 14th, 9 p.m. UFC Fight Pass is where you can watch that one. Main event is Aaron McKenzie versus Joshua Jones. And then we got Elijah Johns versus Brandon Phillips. Do you have any fights you want to pick on this card, Dan, or not? Or are you just saying it'll be fun to watch?
I'm not sure there are any that I want to pick on this one. I think we are going to stick to Invicta on Sundays because that's what I know. But there are some exciting fights because, you know, you mentioned Elijah Johns. For people who don't know, that is Miles Johns' brother, who's 7-2 and a pretty nice prospect in his own right. I believe it's his younger brother, too, which with the exception of one kind of unfortunate loss he had recently to Bruno Souza, if I'm not mistaken, the same Bruno Souza who then got signed to the UFC and beat up by Melsik Bangtazarian. Apart from like one crappy loss like that, he'd probably be in the UFC on his own. I like Elijah Johns a lot. I also like there's a very young, I guess the fight's going to be at bantamweight, but he also fights at flyweight, prospect named Alden Correa. He goes by the Cobra. He was 5-0 in his AMI career. He's 5-0 in his pro career. He's like this beautiful mixture of being kind of a fun boxer with like nasty chokes from all kinds of different angles. And they already have him fighting some like pretty experienced competition. And just his fourth fight, they had him fight a guy who had fought 11 or 12 times already and had a winning record at that. So... this is a guy who I think they have a lot of faith in their flyweight division, or if he has to move up to bantamweight, because I'm guessing he's getting bigger, a lot of faith there too. So all of those are people who I've got my eye on.
Awesome. And then we've got Confrontasjasuchuk Walki, KSW, otherwise known as KSW, is also running on the UFC Saturday, so that would be the 15th of January. They're on at noon, though, Eastern, so you can watch KSW before the UFC if you like. Nine bouts. KSW Lightweight Championship is headlining that. Marion Zylkowski versus Boris Mankowski. It's all skis in here. And then we got co-main event is the Light Heavyweight Championship. They don't follow the weight rule that the UFC does because the Light Heavyweights are co-main eventing. Tomas Narkin versus Ibrahim Chuzhigyev. This is fun. Do you know anything about either of those title fight guys, Dan?
Yeah, I like
how was my pronunciation first?
Awful, of course. Mankowski, Boris Mankowski, who goes by the nickname the Tasmanian Devil, he has fought like everybody Americans have probably heard out of KSW, like Marcin Rozic or Norman Park, or he was actually scheduled to fight Drisco Duplessis, but they never fought. Roberto Soldic, Mamed Kaladov, John McGuire, Jesse Taylor, like David Zawada. Like, he has just fought, like, you know, Peter Sabata he fought back in the regional circuit. I mean, he grappled Matrus Gamrot. Like, he's a guy who's just basically fought everybody there is to fight, and is a pretty damn exciting guy to see fight. Zylokowski has looked really damn good so far, with the exception of getting beat up by Matrus Gamrot. So, again, that seems to be a running trend. But they're both good lightweights. You know, they're guys who would fare decently in the UFC lightweight division. And I've always liked Thomas Narkun in the light heavyweight division. He seemed like a beast. Although there is mounting pressure for Roberto Soldic to go fight him as well. And if I'm not mistaken, did Narkun try to become a double champion by going to heavyweight and it didn't work out for him? He got knocked out by Phil DeFries or some shit like that.
Yeah, he did fight heavyweight his last fight, I believe.
But he beat Kaladov twice, so he's a legit dude. Yep.
No doubt. So who are your picks for those two fights? You have picks for them, Dan?
I don't know. So I think I would probably lean Narkun. I think that's the easiest pick.
-275.
And I think I'd probably take Mankowski, because he's probably betting off at a very slight underdog. And I think
+170.
+170, you can get him all the way.
+170, +115 at other places. So yeah.
Okay.
Probably by the time you guys hear this, he'll be a little dog.
Yeah, +115 is a little bit more what I was thinking of, too. Another guy on the card, too, because I'm not going to log official picks, but you might want to keep an eye on his line, too, is Donovan Desme, who's a Belgian guy. You don't see too many Belgian fighters, and especially don't see him in a promotion out of Poland. So he's had a couple of losses in a row, but to very stiff competition. But if you go way back in the day, he fought on Cage Warriors a bunch of times, was kind of impressive there. He also fought out of a promotion that, a guy who, I really respect was running or ran one time, which was 360 MMA Fight Nights. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's fought Mason Jones back in the day, went to decision with Mason Jones. I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled off an upset. He's probably got a pretty good underdog line too.
What was the name of that gentleman again? Was it one of the skis?
No, because he's the Belgian guy. It's Donovan Vegas Desme.
See, Dan caught me not paying attention to him again while he talks and talks and talks. +150. So you like that number then, right?
I think I'd like it a little higher, but I bet you if you wait a little bit closer, especially if it's an international sports book, I don't condone you betting off of anything other than WinBet, but if you do happen to be betting somewhere where the Polish money might come in as well, the Polish money will come in on the Polish fighter, and his number will probably jump.
There you go. But Dan does not recommend you do that, though. We got LFA again, LFA 122 on Friday, January the 21st, 7 p.m., UFC Fight Pass. We've got a title fight. LFA flyweight championship. So basically whoever wins will end up in the UFC, right? Very next fight. It's basically how it works. Charles Johnson versus Carlos Mota.
I'm not sure Charles Johnson will, but Mota definitely will. Because Charles Johnson, he's going to win that fight. Yeah.
Okay.
Carlos Mota is a beast. I've been singing his praises for a little while, but if you go back and watch Charles Johnson, I don't think the UFC will find him particularly exciting. And he's lost to some pretty decent guys. He lost to Brandon Royval. He lost to Shorty Rock, Sean Santanella. But he also, like he's beating guys by, like, and he's got some finishes in there, so I'm not writing him off entirely. But, like, his decision over Yuma Horiuchi is the one I'm really thinking of, because I think everybody thought the Charles Johnson Yuma Horiuchi winner was going to get a contract for sure, and it was just such a boring fight that neither of them did. Carlos Mota does not have boring fights. That dude is nonstop action, lots of fun all the time. Has had kind of a difficult time getting anybody to fight him. He gets a lot of people backing out of fights and shit like that, so it's good to see him getting in there. I think he will probably fare very well against Charles Johnson.
And then the next day we've got the UFC pay-per-view of January 22nd, UFC 270 from the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. We got Francis Ngannou, the heavyweight champion, versus the interim champ Ciryl Gane, or Gane, or Gane. And then the co-main event is the flyweight championship, Brandon Moreno versus Davison Figueiredo, part three. Hey, that's part three already, because there was a draw the first time. So we won't break down any of these fights, because we will be breaking down officially in a couple weeks for you. Is there any other fight that jumps off the screen at you from that fight card that you're looking forward to?
Oh yeah, there's loads of prospects and people who I'm really excited to see fight on that card. I love Ilir Topuria. Jack Della Maddalena is fighting on there. If you didn't get a chance to see him on the Contender Series, go back into ESPN Plus or Fight Pass or whatever you have and watch him fight again, because he is nonstop action. While you're at it, you know, watch Michael Morales' fight on the Contender Series too, because he's now in the UFC, and he'll be fighting Trevin Giles, so they gave him a pretty stiff test for his very first fight. And I'm really excited to see what he's able to do. You could almost say the same thing of like Gennaro Valdez, who I don't think is as good as Michael Morales, but is another guy who came off the Contender Series, super fun to watch. Jasmine Jesuta Vicious is fighting on the fought on the Contender Series, got a contract. She's fighting Kay Hansen. She moves up. So there's like, I mean, right there, that's four fighters who are fighting on the Contender Series this past year, are getting their first fights, in every single one of them with like very legit opponents. Like the opponents are Warley Alves, Matt Frivola, Trevin Giles, and Kay Hansen. So none of them are getting layups in their first fight, and it'll be really exciting to see what each of them does.
And that's not – you don't often see Contender Series people debuting on pay-per-view cards either. Usually pay-per-views are just with experienced fighters, basically, top to bottom.
And I think that is really part of why you should be hyped on these four coming off of the show, is because, like, if they think – not only are they good enough to be on a pay-per-view, but to fight this level of opponents right out the back, like, my goodness. They're an exciting batch.
And then we actually got a really solid Bellator card on the 29th, Saturday the 29th, 7 p.m. on Showtime, or YouTube if you're in Canada, from Phoenix, Arizona Footprint Center. Main event. Heavyweight championship, Ryan Bader versus the interim champ, Valentin Moldavsky. Co-main event, we got Benson Henderson, another name you should be familiar with, versus Islam Mamadov. Sabah Hamasi's fighting Jaleel Willis, Henry Corrales versus Aiden Lee, Darren Caldwell versus Enrique Barzola. This is a pretty darn good fight card. Romero Cotton versus Dalton Rosta. Said Awad versus Chris Gonzalez. This is a pretty solid card up. Oh, Ben Parrish. Can't forget Ben Parrish versus Sullivan Colley. This is a...
Is that Big Tuna? Is Ben Parrish Big Tuna?
It is Big Tuna.
Yeah.
he's one of my friends on Twitter also. That's a pretty good fight card for Bellator.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. And I really want to, you know, like, tell you how I feel about that main event, but I both don't know what to think about Moldavsky because, like, he has looked incredible, but the only person he's finished in Bellator since being in Bellator was Ernest James, who was 1-0 when he fought him. Wasn't able to finish Javi Ayala or Roy Nelson or Timmy Johnson or anybody like that. So, like, I don't know how that bodes for fighting Ryan Bader, who's seemingly going to have a huge cardio advantage, and is a pretty damn good wrestler himself, but is also 9 years older, and just got, you know, slapped silly by Corey Anderson, who we generally don't think of as being a big knockout artist. Is it a weird ass main event? But yeah, you're right. As far as Bellator putting together a fight card that's not headlined by, you know, Fedor or Chris Cyborg, it is it's one of the better looking ones.
It is, and that's pretty much it for the rest of January for top shelf MMA. I made you do homework for nothing, Dan, didn't I? I had you do want to do a little bit of what you did your homework on?
I didn't actually do any of that homework.
But good.
I will give you – do you want to just save that for after we do Invictus?
Yeah, we'll save it. We'll save it, people. Now people will be expecting something really big, though, so we're going to have to make it really, really, really good now, Dan. We will save it because Dan didn't do his homework. Great. Great job, Dan.
I never do my homework when you ask me.
You just do it off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's usually off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's fine. It works. People love us. All right. Let's put this one to bed. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. We will be back with official picks very next podcast on Sunday. Dan will be giving you official picks, and we'll be doing a super top secret mystery segment that we have planned. In the meantime, Jeff Fox writer on Twitter, Gumby Vreeland for the other gentleman's voice that you're hearing. Read all our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, MMA-manifesto.com. I think that's it. Anything else we should tell people, Dan, or you want to take us home?
I can just take us home. I am Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is the Hobo Cop, Jeff Fox. And we'll catch you on Sunday.